Today's shiur is Masechta Basra Daf Kuf Nun Dawud. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins by reviewing what we had learned in the Mishnah. We had learned in the Mishnah a question: if there was a gift given, and there's a dispute between the person who gave the gift and the person who received the gift. The person who gave the gift says that when he gave the gift, he was a shchimera, and therefore he has the right to retract that now Baruch Hashem he got better. The person who received the gift says that the gift was given to him as a healthy person, and a gift that's given, obviously, when the person is healthy, is a gift that you can't back off on. So we had a machloikis in the Mishnah between Ramei and the Chachamim, and the opinion of the Chachamim was that a mitzvah chavera olav araya, that if you want to make that claim, you're going to have to bring a raya, that the person who is receiving the gift wants to make that type of a claim, he has to be able to prove it. And the Gemara asks, raya b'mai, what type of a raya will be sufficient to prove that your point? Rav Huna says, and according to the way Tosfos asks, the Gemara is saying Rai B'mai is to the opinion of the Chachamim, where we just said the Chachamim's opinion is that the person who receives the gift has to prove it, and the Gemara is asking how can he prove what will be considered an adequate claim to make his claim be believed. The Rashbam seems to learn that the question is on both Rameyer and the Chachamim, where we discussed in our previous year that it is the opinion of the Raya, or the Shchimera, to bring a Raya. And here too, the Gemara is asking, according to Rameyer, how will that be accomplished? So Rav Huna says, the way it's accomplished is Raya be'edim. You have to bring edim that the person, what was the person at the status at the time that he gave the gift. And explains the Ritva, even though maybe we would make a discussion, we should have a discussion if the edim was signed on the shtar, are qualified to say this edus? Could there's a question that could be perhaps discussed? Maybe this person, given that he signed the shtar, so there's a rule in Shas, edim chasum al shtar, edim who was signed on a shtar, nasa kamish nekre edusim abezdim, the halacha looks at it as if what they said is final, and therefore they can't re-enter this discussion. Suggests Ritva that here, just saying that when we signed on the shtar, per the instructions of Shchimera, we could say we know what it was, would be fine. Rechizav Rav Rafuna Amri, Rai became a shtar. We know that Medaraisa, a shtar that is brought to us with signatures of Edom, is considered a kosher shtar. And there's no reason to have any questions. But as we've learned many times in Shas, that there's a concept of Kiyum Shtaris. Kiyum Shtaris means that the shtar has to be certified. The way a shtar is certified, number of ways, but basically they're all around the same concept, which means that we have signatures on the shtar, and those signatures have to be verified. Many ways of verifying signatures. It could be the people themselves who signed it could verify it. We could have the signatures on file in Beis Din. We could have other people who are able to recognize those signatures. And that's the way a shtar is mekuyim and a shtar is verified. Until the shtar is mekuyim, somebody could claim that the shtar is false. The person who's being asked to pay based on the shtar can enter a claim of mezuyev. There is a question amongst the achronim, how do we understand a shtar that's not mekuyim? Do we say that until the shtar is mekuyim, that until the shtar is certified, it's not considered a shtar at all? Or does it mean that it is considered a shtar, but what it means to say is that it's a shtar that one can make a claim at? In other words, even though normally when we have a shtar, as we said a moment ago, you can make the shtar should be considered halachically strong. So the halacha now is that he can make a claim that if it wasn't mekuyim, you can make a claim against it. But even though he can make a claim against it, it doesn't mean that the shtar is not considered a valid shtar. So that says the Gemara that Rav Chisna, Rav Avchun, and our Mishnah say that once the shtar is mekuyim, that will be enough to make it that the shtar is good, and that you'll have to give what it says in the shtar. And the Gemara explains. Rav Huna, we just said that how do you accomplish what you want to accomplish? Is Rai be'edim. You have to bring edim. Says the Gemara, and according to that, what will be the machloikus of Ramei and the Chacham and the Mishnah? Kamifkli beplukt of Rav Yaakov Rav Nosson. Again, it'll come back to the machlokes that we discussed in our previous year, the machlokes of Yaakov Rav Nosson, Simon Maniach. Remeya, who says in our Mishnah that the person who gave the gift has to bring a raya that he was shchimra, and if he doesn't have the ability to bring that raya, we assume that he was healthy when he gave the gift, is going to hold like Rav Nosson that we said in our previous year. Rav Nosson's opinion is that we follow the chazaka, the hashta. We look at what this person looks like currently, and whatever the person looks like currently, that's what we say he is. So for our Mishnah, the person who gave the gift is obviously healthy at this point, because that's what he's claiming. He's claiming, I was a shchimara, I gave a gift as a shchimara, and now I'm retracting, and I have a right to retract because right now he's healthy. But says Reb Meir, that actually, in a way, is working against him. Because by the fact that he's healthy, that gives him a chazaka, that gives us a chazaka de hashta, that if he's healthy now, he must have been healthy when he gave the gift. And therefore, it's considered matanas bari. Rava, who says that it's the Rabbanim who say in our Mishnah it is the obligation of the person who got the gift to bring a raya that the person was healthy at the time of the gift, holds like Rav Yaakov, that, and as we explained Rav Yaakov's opinion in yesterday's shir, that even though he has a chazaka de hashta that he's healthy, but the person who gave the money also has a cheskas mammon, that the money is his, because that there's no disputing that whatever was given away was originally his. And that's why it's enough that he should be able to hold on to money, and if somebody wants to take the money from him, hamotz b'chaver al v'raya. Rav Chisda v'Rav Rav Huna, this is the way Rav Huna is going to explain the machloikus of Ramei and the Rabbanan. Continues the Gemara, Rav Chisda v'Rav Rav Huna Amri, how we accomplish what we have to accomplish, became a shtar. Once the shtar is verified, that will be enough for the shchimera not to be able to claim anymore, for this giver, for the person who gave the gift, to be able to claim that it was shchimera. So the fundamental part of this explanation is everybody is following the opinion of Rav Nosson that says we follow the chazaka de hashta. And if we see that currently he's a shchimera, it must mean that he was a shchimera when he, if he's currently healthy, it must be that he was healthy when he gave the gift. So what is, if so, the machlokes Ramei and the Chachamim? The Komifki, the machlokes, is a different question. Might b'shtashe kosvoi tzarech l'kaimai. If a loiva said, yes, the shtar that you're presenting against me is a valid shtar. But he said that the shtar was done, it was a valid shtar, but he says he paid off the debt already. So as we said a few moments ago, the purpose of kiyum shtar is to prevent the loiva from being able to say that the shtar is mezuyif, the shtar is false. Here, the loiva is not claiming that the shtar is mezuyif, because the halacha is that if a loiva says a shtar is mezuyif, he would have some level of namonis unless there was a kiyum shtaris. Here, he's not saying that the shtar was mezuyif. He's saying that the shtar is fine, but he's claiming that, in the case that we're learning now, that he paid off the shtar. Is kiyum required or not? Ramey's opinion is that if somebody admits that he wrote the shtar, the halacha is in a tzarich l'kaymai. Because by admitting that he wrote the shtar, that accomplishes kiyum. And therefore, in our Mishnah as well, once the person agrees that the shtar, the person says, I indeed wrote the shtar, his claim that he was a shchimra is ignored. And if he wants to prove, and he wants to say he was a shchimra, he's going to have to prove it. Rabbanan, Savri, whereas it's the opinion of the Rabbanan, that might b'shtash kosoi tzorch l'kaymoi, and if we weren't m'kaymet, we would believe what he said, and if he's saying it's a shchimra, we would believe him. Of course, the Rishonim ask a very obvious question. We just learned that Rameya differentiates between what type of a claim did the loiva make. If he said mezuyif, then kiyum is required. If he says parati, that I paid up the shtar, it's not required. So the question is, why when he says parati, is it not considered an acceptable claim by him being able to have a migui saying, I could have said it was mezuyif. So Taisu says that people, what is the fundamental concept of a migui? Believe me when I say this claim because I could have said the other claim. Believe me when I say parati because I could have said mezuyif. So Taisu says people are reluctant to say mezuyif because most shtaris are not mezuyif. Another pshat is that really, as we said before, Chazal, this whole requirement of kiyum is a new din de Rabbanan. And Chazal only made that din when somebody says mezuyif, and not when somebody saying parati. And the reason for that, says Rabbi Chanan, is that mezuyif is a much stronger claim than parati. And because mezuyif is a much stronger claim, and I think the way Rabbi Chanan means to say, it's not just a stronger claim, it's a claim that's less likely to be said. So if somebody said it, it must be true. That's why mezuyif we do believe, but we don't believe when he says parati. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the moment the person was moida, that the shtar was a kosher shtar, so what kicks in here is that the shtar had kiyum. Because what are we saying? That what we're looking for is kiyum. So explain the Rishonim that you have kiyum. The moment the person who wrote who is the loiva is moida b'shtar shekasvoi, that's a kiyum. The fact that he says afterwards parati doesn't undo that we had a kiyum, and since it doesn't undo that we had a kiyum, then that remains. And if he says afterwards parati, that doesn't change that we already had a kiyum here. So now we understand the machlokes of Rameyer and the Chachamim and our Mishnah, where the Shchimra says, yes, this is a shtar. Yes, this is a shtar that I wrote. But he claims that it was a Shchimra when he wrote the shtar and he got better and he could back off. And the Machlokes says, what is the din in the moment of Moed B'shtar Shekosvoi? Rav Meir's opinion is that the shtar is good. And if you want to be able to make any claims, you, the person who wrote the shtar, in the case of Loiva and Amish, the case of the person who's claiming is a shchimra, has to be able to back it up with a raya. The Chum say that no, if you're moed b'shtash or kosvoy, but you claim parati, kim is required. And here too, if you're claiming that you were a shchimra when you wrote the shtar and gave it back, and it got better, then the person who received what you gave is the person that's going to have to prove that you were not a shchimra. Ask the Gemara, but this is a machlokes that we already had in Masechta Ksubis, where we have a case where we have two Edom signed on a shtar. And then the Edom came and said that Ksav Yudenuza, that indeed this is our signature. But Anusama Yinu, that we were forced to sign our name, the halach is that we say Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. That is the opinion of the Rabbanon. Whereas the Chachamim disagree. That was the opinion of Chachamim, whereas Ramei disagrees. So Kiritanya, and the Gemara quotes the Gemara Masechta Ksubis, Ein Amon El Apostle Diver Rameya, if they say that this is their signature, but they're not believed, the Chachamim Namonim. So the question is, why was it necessary to have the same Machloikis twice? Answers the Gemara Tzricha. This is not really identical. Dietmahi, if we had only the Gemara and Masechta Ksubis, we would say, Bahi Kam Rabbanan. That's what the Rabbanan hold, that if the Edom, if we have a Pesh Asa, Pesh Itter, we don't believe them. Because who are the people in Masechta Ksubis who are making the claim? Edom. And the Gemara is saying, Mishum Dal Edom, Limi Edom Amari Shtara. Edom are considered very powerful, and what they say is something that we take into consideration, and that's why we say Pesha also Peshita. Avohocha, an Al Gemara, the Laf Kol Kmine, it's the person who is being asked to pay out what he did in the shtar. Since he did admit that he wrote the shtar, and he therefore his position becomes weaker, and maybe in this case, even though Chachamim in Masechta Ksubis hold Pesha Asu Pesha Iter and require Kimishtar, here they won't be so nice. Vietnam Baha, here Rameyer is being strict. Abahach, again, because over there it's the Edom who are making the claim. Eimah Moedel or Abaran, that we believe the Pesha Asu Pesha Iter and Kim is required. Tzricha, that's why we had to have the machloikas in these two both different situations. Says the Gemara, V'kein Abba Rabba, we go back to the beginning of the shir, where the question that the Gemara posed is, when a raya is required, what type of raya is required? So Raya says, Rabba, like Rav Huna said, that the way of our Mishnah saying Edom, saying a raya is following the Edom. And according to this, Rab is not going to be holding the concept of Chazaka Dahashta. Because as we explained a few moments ago, if we say Raya means Raya Be'edim, the Machloikis of Rameyer and Rabbanon is, do we follow the Chazaka Dahashta? And the question that the Shoinim ask is that, and we discussed this at the end of our previous year, that we do follow Chazaka De'edim. So how do we understand our Mishnah? So there are some Rishonim, because of this, because we have Raya's in Shasta, Rava does hold of Chazaka De'hashta, and there's some Rishonim that change this Gemara and have it Rava and instead of Rava, because Rava does subscribe to Chazaka De'hashta. Amal Abaya, my Tama. Why, without the Raya, why do Chama hold that if the person who received the gift cannot prove that he gave the gift, as if the person who received the gift has to prove that the person who gave him the gift was a Bari, why are we taking that position? Ilema, because we'll say, and we discussed this, there's a obvious difficulty with the shtar. Midikulik sibu, since in all shtars, it normally says, karhav mahalach arigloi b'shukah, as I was walking healthy in the street. That means it indicates that the person who wrote the shtar was healthy. And this shtar doesn't have that wording. Shmamina, isn't that clearly an indication that shchimera have, that the person who gave the gift was a shchimera? Says the Gemara, we can make a counter argument. Adrabba, midakula ksibu, and since in all shtars it says, katkotsav rami barisei, when we have a shtar shchimera, it says that the person was sick, v'holoi ksibu, and in this shtar it doesn't say so, so we could bring a raya, shmamina barihi, that he was healthy, because if it was a shtar shchimera, then it should have said the wording of the shtar shchimera. It should have said the wording of the shtar shchimera. So says the Gemara, says Rabbah, exactly. Ikla mei mahochi. The fact that the shtar is missing the words that the shtar is supposed to have, that leads us, points in two opposite directions. And when we have a situation where it points us in two different directions, that's why we leave the money where it was, and we say that the money remains by the person who gave the money. Says the Gemara, Obeplukta, and says the Gemara, there are other Amoraim that weighed in on this Machlaikis. The Machlaikis that we started the Shir, the Machlaikis of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, is the Edis adequate a... As Edom, what's required as an Edom, as a Raya, was Kiyum Shtaris. Rav Yochanan Amar Raya be Edom. If whoever, the person who wants, again, we're learning what, we're trying to understand the opinion of the Chachamim. And according to the opinion of the Chachamim, the only way the person who received the gift will be able to prevail in the Nentaira is he brings Edom, that the person who gave him the gift was a Bari. Rish Lakish Amar, Rabbi Kim Shtar, that he holds like Rav Chisda, that Kim Shtar would be enough for him to be able to win the Din Torah. Eisvei Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish, Maisa B'nei Brak, there was a story that happened B'nei Brak, but Echad Shemachim B'nechsei Oviv, somebody inherited property from his father, a mace, and then he passed away. And what happened here was that the people who bought those assets came with a shtar to say, we bought those assets. The family, who are now the yorshim of this yorish, say, they said that the entire sale was null and void, because they said, katan haya, the person who sold you this property was a katan, b'shas misa, and therefore, the sale is an invalid sale. Above a shalor b'kiva, and they wanted to ask b'kiva ma'alavatkei. They had already buried him, and the issue here wasn't his age. There was no dispute that this boy was 13 years old. The question was that a person is not considered a gadol until he brings shtei saris, and the question was, did he bring shtei saris or not? Amlehem, and Rav Akiva said, you want to open up the kever and check him? The halach is, you're not allowed to do so. So the Pasha Pshat, Rav Yosef Engel in the Gliyonei HaShas discusses, why is it also to do so? So he says, if the Torah says, if a person, Rachman Salon, is hung, we can't leave the body hanging that way. What do we learn from there? There's an Isser, a Bizi Hames. That's one explanation. Another explanation Rabbi Yosef Engel gives is that the Torah requires that every person who passes away must be buried. When you open up the kever, you're breaking that obligation of him being buried. So Iyat Rishayim L'Navloi. You have no right to do so. Void. And even if you were to do so, says the Gemara, what you would find would not be of any help. Because simanim asurim l'shtanus l'chamisa. What happens in the body to change after he dies. And therefore, we can't know from what this examination, would not be able to be conclusive if he was a gadol or a katan. So ask Tosfos, if he was a katan when he was alive, then he certainly will look like a katan after he died. Hair don't grow after he dies. So what is the Gemara saying? Well, you can't see anything after he died. When we'll open him up, if we see, we'll see that he's a katan, that clearly is an indication that he was a katan when he was alive. So Tosfos gives a whole explanation. Tosfos says that maybe while he was alive, the hair were white. And after the death, those hair turned black. The body physically changes after the person, Rahman Slan, dies. And therefore, if they become black, that would be misleading. Because the halach is that white hair is not a proof of godless, of adulthood. Only black hair is. But Tosfos himself disagrees. He says it doesn't make sense to say that a person had this white hair while he was alive and it turned black after he died. So he quotes the reed that says that when we speak about hair coming out of the body, the hair is not considered a siman of godless unless there are gumos, unless there are pores from which the hair grew. Now, what might happen is that pores could develop after a person passes away. And therefore, what we have to be concerned is now we're going to see that he has the saris with the gumas. But what the Gemara is saying is that the gumas are not a raya because maybe those gumas came after the person passed away. Says the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan makes his point. Bishlam l'di, according to my opinion, that mean a raya be'edim, that I always said that the way the person who got the gift could prove his case is only with edim. That's the only way that he could prove a case. And kiyum would not be enough. That's why Kiyum the Amar, once Rabbi Kiva said to these people who bought it, I say edim, bring edim that he was a gadol, v'loy ashkechu, and they weren't able to find such edim. Now we understand that they wanted to prove their case. Hein the cost of Amru, Ma'alavatka, let's prove our point, let's prove our case by doing this physical examination. But says Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Shlokish, El Lidach, Damit Rai B'Kim Shtar, that Kim Shtar is always adequate proof. So here they suggested that we should do a physical examination of the body. And we're learning now that that isn't halachically acceptable. Why would we need to do that type of examination? That you're saying the Kim Mishtar is a good way of accomplishing this. And now we're saying the physical examination is not acceptable. The Kim Mishtar, we should just do Kim Mishtar. And look at the nechse, and that's how they'll be able to get the property. Answers the Gemara. Me saved nechse becheskes b'mishpacha kaimi. Says Rish Lakish, you have a total misunderstanding what happened here. What happened was, it wasn't that the family of this Yosem were holding on to the assets. And the people who bought the assets now want to get those assets. The Ka'asal Kuchas Ma'ari, on the contrary, Nechsib Nechsil Kuchas Kaimi, the people who had bought the assets were holding on to the assets. And Ka'asal B'nai Mishpacha V'Ka Ma'ari, and they want to claim that he was a cotton. And that, we said, that they can't win back their assets because they are the Maitz Mechaver Olav Araya. But it's nothing to do with what we are talking about. So we learned now in our Gemara, the very important halacha of Nivel HaMeis, that once somebody is buried, Rabbi Kiva says that we can't do Nivel HaMeis to try to examine the body to make halachic determination. There was once a story where there was a report that was somebody was buried with a wallet full of money, and his yarshim were people who desperately needed the money, and they wanted to take out the body to get that money. So the Aruch HaNor says, based on our Gemara, that of course we may not do so, just like we learned in our Gemara, that you can't open up the body and the way we just learned, to protect the family that wants to get back what was taken. However, there is a case where there was an unidentified corpse that was found and buried, and then there was an aguna whose husband had disappeared, and she wanted to take out this body to check that maybe this was her husband. And the question is, can we do so? So the Tshuvah Shvatzion says that even though we're learning in our Gemara how strict we are about opening up a body that was already buried, it could be, as we find so often in Shas, is Mishim Aguna Kila Barabanan, and for an Aguna, we could do so. And the Tshuvah Shvatzion adds one more consideration. He says, the reason we're not allowed to open up the kever of a body that was buried in it is because it's bezoyin hames. But if here this individual will be proven to be the person that we're thinking he may be, and like that his wife will be able to get remarried, that will be a covet for him. The reason we're not allowed to do this is because it represents a bezoyin hames. But in a case where it actually brings covet to him, then it would be mutter. The question we discussed earlier in our Masechta on Daf Kuf Beis, what is the halacha if we're allowed to move a body after it was buried? And we learned a concept of Cherdes Hadin. If somebody is buried, then when he's opened and moved, it causes him terrible fear because it causes him to be concerned that they're going to be judging him again. So the Shvus Yaakov asks, why did our Gemara introduce a new concept of Nivel HaMeis? Why can our Gemara said Cherdes Hadin? So the Shvus Yaakov answers, the Cherdes Hadin is only applicable when the body is going to be moved. Here, the body was not going to be moved, that's why it's not representing Cherdes Hadin. The Chacham Tzvi explains that in a case where you're not exposing the body, if you're moving the body, then there's no Nivel HaMeis. If you move the body in a respectful manner, that doesn't represent Nivel HaMeis. But it does represent Cherdes Hadin. And therefore, because each one of these represent different situations, we can't bring a raya from one to the other. The Shas Tshuvah Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Dalet Simeon Yudalet, discusses the concept of Netuche Mesim and why doing an autopsy is so usur. And one of the reasons he says is that our Gemara that shows us that doing anything to the body after the body is already buried represents Nivel HaMeis, and because it represents Nivel HaMeis, it's something that has to be avoided at all. It has to be avoided under all cost. The question is that the Paiskim discuss, and that is that we know, as we just learned, that there's a strong consideration of Nivel HaMeis. The question is, if there's a body that a person who Rahman Slon passed away, and the question is about taking organs from that body to save another person. And the question is that mutter or usur? On one hand, we can make an argument that the Gemara we just learned says that Nivel HaMeis is always usur. On the other hand, we can make an argument and saying, well, we're doing it to save another person. And the question is, two questions, a number of questions, halachic question, if why it should be mutter or not. One question is that the halacha is, that the pasuk says, b'meisim chavshi. And the Gemara says, Kivin Shemeis Adam, once a person passes away, Nasa Chavshi Min HaMitzvahs, he no longer has an obligation to do any mitzvahs. So this, yes, we have here, unfortunately, this person who is sick and needs you to help, needs this body to help him. But although he's sick and he needs this body to help him, that means we, living Jews, have a chiyuv to do whatever we can for atzolus the fashas, to help somebody survive. But a person who's dead maybe doesn't have that obligation. Another consideration, like the Behuda discusses this, is that when do we say that halacha, that why is the reason we're not allowed to do nivel ha'meis? Because it's gezeila. We're taking away part of his body. And even though we have an obligation to try to help save another Jew, it may not be able to override this gezeila. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, in a Sefer Chashuki Chemed, has an interesting discussion in this around this concept of nivel ha'meis, where he discusses two questions that are similar. Somebody donated a kidney, and he said, I'm donating the kidney to this person who so desperately needs the kidney, but I'm only giving it as long as this person will be alive and need it. After he dies, I want the kidney back. And then he discusses a situation where a hospital, apparently in certain hospitals, when they put in a pacemaker, they clearly indicate that the pacemaker is being put in only for the person, as long as the person is alive. After the person passes away, we're going to want the pacemaker back. And the question is that permitted? Because when we take the pacemaker out, it obviously involves the nivel ha'meis. And he goes back and forth with this question, and he wants to suggest that in these cases that where it was clearly indicated up front that it was being given under those circumstances. So we just said that what is one of the considerations of putting it in is because you're stealing from the person. But if you gave it to that person, the kidney, the pacemaker, with clear stipulation that it's only going to be with him as long as he's alive, so then it's not gezeila, because it was given under that condition. Furthermore, the issue of nivel ha'meis, we said, may not be applicable in a case where what you're doing is to save somebody else. So when they're taking out the pacemaker, the reason they're taking out the pacemaker is because they're going to use the pacemaker for another patient that needs it. Or if they're taking out the kidney, they're taking it for somebody who needs the kidney, or the person who gave it wants it back. Maybe there it would be mutter. Continues the Gemara. Hachanam Mstaber, that again, Rabbi Yochanan posed a question to Rish Lakish with this case, where the person sold assets when he was, and now there's a dispute, was he a cotton or a gadol? And Rish Lakish explained that the case over there should be understood that the person who already bought it had received it. And therefore, since he had already received it, the person who gave it wanted back, they have to be able to prove it, because Moitz Mechaver al Varaya, and that's why it's not a question, Rish Lakish's opinion about Kim Shtar. Midah Kamalu, who says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that that's the way to understand the Gemara, says Rish Lakish. Because listen to what Rabbi Kiva said to them. Rabbi Kiva said to him, Imat Rishoyim Lenavli, you are not allowed to, you as the family may not open him up, because as we've been discussing extensively, it represents Nivel HaMeis. And that, what was their reaction? V'shtiku, they remained silent. So makes the Gemara's point. We understand that if the family was the one that wanted to prove something here, and the only way they were able to prove what they wanted to prove would be by opening up the kever. And Rav Akiva says, well, opening up the kever represents nivul hames. You don't want to be participating in doing that to your family member. So now we understand ishtiku, why they were quiet. Eli amrit l'kuchas kamari, if we're going to say the people who bought it were the ones that were making the claim that we know he was a gadol when he sold us these assets, and they wanted to prove their point. They wanted to prove their point by opening up the nifter, the kever. So Rav Akiva says, opening up the kever is nevel ames. So why would that make a difference to them? Am I shaski? Lamerle, anan zuzi yamle. We paid for this piece of property, and we want to get back a piece of property. And nevel on nevel. And actually, the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Shiva Tzion that we mentioned before, that from here we see that under certain circumstances, nivul hames is mutter. Because if nivul hames were always usser, so just because they don't care because it's not their family member, what's the difference? If nivul hames is always usser, so it's usser. It doesn't become mutter because it's not their family. So from here we see that under certain circumstances, an autopsy or nivul hames may be mutter, but we also see it, there's a difference in halacha who's requesting that autopsy. Family has to be the last one to want that. Lemele, why should they be able to say, anan zuzi yavinele, nivul v'nivul? And the way I saw some of the first explain the Gemara, that this is not really considered a real nivul hames, because they were just going to look at the body. And a family has a higher level of respect that they have to show to the mess than anyone else. Says the Gemara, imishim ha'loiraya, la'iria. That can't be, so that's a proof that it was the lekuchas already had it. Says the Gemara, the way we should understand the Gemara is that the lekuchas already had what was sold by this yasam, and therefore the family was the one that wanted this examination. And the family who wanted the examination were told, well, you can't have the examination because of the issue of nivul hames. Says Mar Imi Shemha, if that's your proof, lo'iria. Hachkamla. Chada, yatim shoyim nanavloi. What Rabbi Akiva was saying to the people who bought it, and we could say it was they who were demanding it. Number one, nivul hames is osur. V'chit heimra, zuzei lishka of nivul v'nivul. Here, nivul is appropriate because we paid him, and therefore we want to protect our right. Even if I were to allow nivul hames here, I would allow examination. It's not going to prove anything. We learned the following brisa. If somebody has been eating the fruit of a certain field, or Baba Cheska Shaloi, that he didn't have a chazaka that we spoke about earlier in the Masechta of 3 years, but everybody knows that this field belongs to this person. And then the Karl of Acher Irer, and somebody says, Lai Mishalihu, this field belongs to me. For Haitzis Aina, and the person who's been on the field brings out a shtar that it was sold to him. Loimer, and the shtar proves, Mechatli, you sold me this field. Nosatali v'matani, you gave it to me as a gift. Imamer, if the person who's making the claim says, "Any makam besod zume olam," I don't recognize the shtar. I never wrote it. I never gave it. It's mezuyif. Then the loch is yiskayin shtar b'chesamav. As we discussed earlier in the shir, this is the case where kiyum is required. However, v'mamar, if the person claims shtar pasim hu, they used to write shtar that people should think that they're, to prove the people are wealthy. That's called the shtar pasim, where we write to the person he owns the field, but he really didn't own the field. It was only to help him prove that he's a wealthy man. Or he said shtar amana. Sometimes somebody sells somebody else a property, but they didn't consummate the deal, but he already gives him the shtar. Shtar amana. Because mechati l'cha, I sold you the field, you didn't pay yet. If there are Edom that he could bring to support his case, holach acha edim. Then we follow edim. Mimlaf holach acha hashtar. So we see that even though there was no kim shtar, we believe what it says in the shtar. Lema. So we say that this brisa that we just learned from Bakapara represents that the opinion of Rameya Domer, that we learned earlier in our shir, the Rameya's opinion is the Maid Bishtasha Kosoi and it's Arch Lakaimai for Loi Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, no, Loi. Shani Oima Devakal Maid Bishtasha Kosoi. I agree that everybody agrees that to that concept. And since this person agrees that the shtar was written, that's why it's a good shtar. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that everybody agrees to that concept? As we learned earlier in our shiur today, Mamiflik Pligi, we learned that this is actually a machloikas of Masechtik Subas. The Tanan, the Mishnah over there discussed the case, the Brisa over there discussed the case that we mentioned earlier, where the Adam say, Ksav Yudenu Zeh, Avlam Nusum Hayo, says the Gemara, as we said earlier in the shir, if we do say that by Edom or Mari Shtara, that we give Edom the ability to disqualify the Shtar, does that mean that the person who's the party to the Shtar has the same right? Says the Gemara, Amalei. So Rish Lakish continues asking Rabbi Yochanan, you said that Yafa Orem Mishpacha, that in the case where this person, this Yosem, sold the property, and the Mishpacha is making a claim, you said that they, and there was no Kiyim, so you said that the claim is good. So we see that Maid Mishtasha Kosoi could still make a claim. Amalei, so to which Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, it wasn't I who said it. It was Elazar who said it. I never said this. I agree that Maid Mishtasha Kosvoi ain't a tzarch l'kaimai. Only if it's Edom who make a claim.